Democratic and Republican.
We're going to go out and we will create more and better jobs. And we will be in a great state again.
It's Wednesday, the morning we speak with Michigan Radio's political analyst Jack Lessenberry about what's going on in state politics. Well, Jack, let's talk about water. The issue of Detroit shutting off water to residents who can't pay their bills has been the subject this week in bankruptcy court. And we learned late last week that Flint is cracking down on water theft. Flint actually arrested a water department employee for illegally turning on water for residents. And according to reports, the average monthly bill for water in Detroit is around $70 a month, and in Flint, it's around $140 a month. And those numbers are higher than the national average. So how did water become so expensive in these cities, Jack?
Well, of course, Detroit's system is very old. Some of the mains are said to date back to the 19th century. Some may be almost as old as the Civil War, and we haven't put a lot of money into maintaining the system. That may be part of it. In Flint, it's much more complex. Flint has gone back and forth. It initially used its own water, and then in the 60s it switched to Detroit water. And now they've been in a feud with the Detroit Water and Sewage Department and decided to create their own system. Well, the water is a lot harder. The system is even worse maintained than Detroit's, as far as I can tell. A lot of water main breaks, and so partly out of maybe regional pride, they're causing people to pay a whole lot for water.
And while Detroit's issues being handled in bankruptcy court, is anything being done about the water rates in Flint?
There's a lot of arguing about it. There are people who are moving out of Flint, which is already depopulated, in order to get cheaper water. And, of course, Flint is in sort of dire economic straits itself. It's been in emergency management, and we'll just have to see. But no one is coming up with a comprehensive solution at this point that I can see.
And we learned yesterday that General Motors is moving its Cadillac headquarters to New York, and that's try to get the new brand to expand to a new region in the country. So, Jack, how will this move affect Detroit and Michigan?
Well, it has all the hallmarks to me of a public relations disaster. They're moving maybe 30 to 100 people from Detroit to New York, but what they're trying to do is give Cadillac some kind of cachet. And Cadillac is perceived by a lot of people as being sort of your grandfather's car, kind of a stodgy luxury car for old men with little Swiss hats. You know, it's being outsold by a lot of foreign competition. Cadillac sales are down this year, whereas other car sales are up. So they're trying, apparently, to make Cadillac sexy. I have grave doubts about whether anybody buys a car, depending on where its corporate headquarters is located. And there are some who say that the new head of Cadillac just wants to live in New York. Of course, New York is sort of the cultural and business center of the country, but whether that's going to have an impact on Cadillac sales, I would think is dubious.
And there's now talk that there might actually be debates for the race for governor and U.S. Senate before elections this year. I guess there will be a debate for governor on October 12th. And now Republican Senate candidate Terry Lynn Land says she might now be up for debate against her opponent, Gary Peters. So, Jack, what are your thoughts on what's happening in the discussions around the U.S. Senate debate?
You throw a long pass at the end of a football game if you're way behind. And with the exception of one just released poll, Republican candidate Terry Lynn Land has been sinking further and further behind Gary Peters by as much as 10%. She's been utterly invisible to most people on the campaign trail. And it may be apparent to her camp that they don't have a whole lot to lose. There's been a lot of concern about how Terry Lynn Land can handle herself under questioning and whether she's up to speed on all the major issues. But probably, if it looks like they think this might be the only way they can sort of get back in the ballgame, they'd be willing to do it. And they may be right. There's something called the expectations game, whereas if the media and everybody expects her to fall flat on her face and she gives an adequate performance, not brilliant, she may be judged to have won.
All right, Jack. As always, thanks for your insights.
Have a wonderful week.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's political analyst.